Well, good morning. Sunday has come. Excuse me, and he is risen.
Amen.
He is risen indeed. Happy Resurrection Day. Happy Easter. Go ahead and turn in your hymnals to hymn number 685. This is a responsive reading. So if you'd go ahead and stand as well. You got it?
Yep.
All right. 685. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry.
You can't hear me? 685.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll try to speak louder.
You're hearing me a problem.
Do you have a minute?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a minute?
No, I'm okay. It'll click around in my teeth and nobody else can hear me. All right. 685. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot.
They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?"
They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him.
At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?"
Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him."
Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabbi," which means teacher.
Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the good news, "I have seen the Lord."
On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you."
After he said this, he showed them his hands and side.
The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
Thank you. You can be seated. It seems that every year around this time, there is a number of social media posts talking about some nonsense about Easter really being a celebration of fertility in this Mesopotamian god named Ishtar. I'm not going to get into all that. But two things. If you're interested in that, Jonathan Cahn has a great sermon that he posted on his YouTube channel called The Easter Bunny Heresy. And second, know this. Easter has nothing to do with fertility rituals. It has nothing to do with this god of sex and war, Ishtar. Okay? Nothing. Amen. It is about Jesus. It is about the resurrection of Jesus. That's it. Easy peasy.
No chocolate bunnies.
No chocolate bunnies. Yeah. I did read something interesting, though. And I'm sharing this only because we had colored eggs this morning. The only thing about how we celebrate Easter that is pagan related is the Easter Bunny, of course. But also, colored eggs had to do with Roman pagan worship. I didn't know that until this week. I thought that was interesting. And bunnies don't lay eggs. All that aside, today is about Jesus. This is the third day following his death by crucifixion. And this is Resurrection Day. And this is why we have church worship services on Sunday. This is the first day of the week, which, as we just read in our responsive reading, it was the first day of the week when the disciples were gathered together when Jesus first appeared to them. When we read through Acts, we see all of these instances where it talks about the believers being gathered together, and it's the first day of the week. So that's why we do that. The church in Acts did it. We just kind of follow suit with that. It's not required that we meet on Sundays, but that's just what we do because this is what happened in Scripture historically. All right? If today is all about Jesus' resurrection, then it begs the question, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Well, I mean, someone resurrecting from the dead, that's a pretty big deal in and of itself. But what is the significance of Jesus resurrecting from the dead? What does it mean for us? Well, we're going to take a walk down the Romans road this morning. And we're going to see what it means for us. But before we do that, let's Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that we find in it. And we thank you for Jesus and his work of everything leading up to this morning. Everything that he endured, all of his teachings, all of his miracles, all of his wonders, and his death, his burial, and even the most awesome wonder of resurrection. We thank you for that. And we thank you that we get to be beneficiaries of that. Lord, be with us as we look through these passages this morning. Open our hearts to hear from you as we dig in. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a note taker, on the back of your bulletin, there's a brief outline that you can follow along there as we explore this Romans road. All right, the first thing that we notice, okay, the first thing that we need to recognize is man's failure. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says this: "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Okay, I have a question for you. Are you perfect? No. Good. Do you think I am?
No.
Good. Scripture teaches over and over and over again that none of us are righteous on our own. None of us are good on our own. None of us can do good on our own. We all are sinners. We all fall short of what God desires from us, what God's plan is for us. We are all sinners. There is no one who does good, no, not one. Okay? God demands holiness. We see this, we were in 1 Peter on Wednesday nights, and we saw this a couple weeks ago. This admonition, "Be holy as I am holy." And of course, that's a quote from the Old Testament. God is demanding that we have holiness within us. Right? But when Jesus would originally look at us, all the good things, non-Christian people can do good deeds, okay? We can have any heathen, using that word loosely, anybody who's not a believer can come and help hand out food tomorrow morning. Anybody's capable of doing that. That's simple, all right? But when we do that, we're just doing this outward expression of a good thing. All right, makes us maybe feel good about ourselves. Hey, I went and gave food away to some people who may or may not have needed food. So I feel good about myself. On the inside, though, this is what Jesus called whitewashed tombs. On the outside, you look really good. You look like a good person. Maybe you're the type of person that, you know, you like to quote scripture all the time. Well, so does Satan. But if there's not a change within us, all we're doing is saying empty words. We're reading words off a page. We may as well be reading the 50 Shades of Grey. I mean, if all we're doing is saying words, it's pointless. All right? There has to be a change within us. And those outward expressions that we do, they make us look good, they make us look pretty. But on the inside, this is the whitewashed tomb thing, we're really dead. We're spiritually dead. Okay? But God calls us to be holy. And in God's original design, there was perfection that was there. We can look at the things that were going on with Adam and Eve. And even when God made Eve, what did he finally say after the creation of Eve? It is very good. It is very good. Amen. So God had this perfect design of creation. And Adam messed it all up. Isaiah 53:6, and we're going to see this a few times this morning. Isaiah 53:6, we read it last week. "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him," being Jesus. We all sin. We all suffer under that same nature of Adam, not doing the things that God calls us to do, not doing the thing God wants us to do. And anytime we do that, we are committing a sin. We are committing a sin against a holy and righteous God. And when we do that, there has to be a penalty. Right? There has to be a penalty. Flip over to Romans chapter 6. The very last verse, verse 23 of Romans chapter 6. It starts out with this statement. For the wages of sin is death. Y'all have worked a job, right? You've worked in some capacity in your life. So you work 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 hours a week. You get something at the end of the, or whenever your pay period ends. Maybe it's a week, maybe it's 2 weeks every month. What do you get? You get your wages, right? You're receiving a payment that is due to you, something that is owed to you because of what you have done. So the wages, the thing that we have earned from our sin is death. And maybe we might commit a sin that is so insane that it causes physical death. But the death that Paul is talking about is a spiritual death. It is a separation that is created between us and God, like that painting that was shown. It creates this chasm between us and God, something that we can't bridge on our own. The Old Testament is full of stories of God's people trying to build a bridge to get back to God. But that bridge, and all you guys with Facebook, if you're looking at it on your phone, that just happens to me only on my phone, there's a game that you can play on your phone that's always advertised on Facebook that's like you draw a bridge across this ravine and it drives a bus across, the bus gets about halfway and the bridge collapses and it all falls. That's what basically happens all throughout the Old Testament. They try and build this bridge. Maybe they get excited. They go, oh, look, we made the bridge all the way across. And they start walking, and it collapses underneath them because they were too selfish in their building of that bridge. Right? Their ambition wasn't right. We have this penalty because God demands holiness. God demands us to live a way that he wants us to live. Amen?
Yeah.
And we can't do it. Any sin that we commit, even if it's a little white lie, you still get a wage for that. Just like if you go and, I used to work for Sonic, right, driving, making burgers. That was my job.
Oh, nice.
Real beef, though, not McDonald's.
Oh, man.
So, I lived 30 miles from work, and it took me 25 minutes to get there. Okay? So I would drive to work. I would clock in. I would start working. Things would slow down. The boss would go, okay, Everett, you can clock out and go home. I'm like, dude, I just made $5.25. That's barely enough to put gas in my truck to go home. But I still earned that wage, even with 1 hour. I just dated myself. That was the minimum wage at the time. All right. But I still worked that hour. I still earned a wage for that hour. All right. One little sin. Of course, there is no scale of sin in Scripture. We see a sin as sin. Any sin that we commit is an offense to a holy and awesome God. And because of that, we deserve death. Okay. Continuing in verse 23 of chapter 6. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God demonstrating his love for mankind. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's a huge word for having two letters. In is very, very important. In Christ Jesus our Lord. We have to be in relationship with Christ Jesus as Lord in order for us to get that free gift of salvation.
Amen.
We don't get it any other way. There's nothing that we can do that's going to allow us to get that gift. Because if we do something, it's not a gift. It's not a gift. Right? It's a wage. If you do something and you get something in return, it's a wage. It's not a gift. Now, we can get a gift, and we can say thank you, or do something in appreciation, a way of us saying thank you. But that's us doing something out of reciprocal love. Because you've loved me enough to give me this gift, I love you, and I want to show my appreciation to you. Let me do this thing. We have some friends that we hang out with quite often, and you know, we do things for each other back and forth and whatnot. And both of us, we really like that 1919 root beer. It's good. It's yummy. No high fructose corn syrup. I'm good. So we were at Walmart, and they had the big barrel of the 1919. I'm like, oh man, my buddy would love this. And I took it to him, and I was like, thank you for being a friend. Right? Not singing the Golden Girls theme song, but you know. So, it's appreciation. You show love to us, we show love back to you. Like, about a month ago, we looked at this verse out of John. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God showed his love to us. He shows us that he loves us. Jesus made up the difference for our shortcomings. Right? Romans chapter 8, right, verses 32 to 34.
It's not written down, is it?
No, it's not written down. Sorry.
It was.
8 what?
8, 32 to 34. Romans 8. Starting in verse 32, it says, he being God, who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us? Wow. Who can condemn us?
No one.
Romans 5:10 says, while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled. We were reconciled. This word reconciled is a big fancy word that means we made up. The relationship has been restored. It's been fixed. It says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And again, thinking about Isaiah 53, verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. You know why Scripture calls us sheep all the time?
Because we're dumb.
Because we're dumb. I had 3 sheep when I was a teenager. And I can testify, sheep are dumb. Dumb. But all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And that him there is Jesus. So all of this condemnation, this penalty for sin, God put onto Jesus. Make sense? Good. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Look at verses 9 through 13. This is our fourth point, if you're still following along on the back of your bulletin. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says this. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Exactly. Salvation is for those who believe. Jesus said, I quote Jesus a lot, especially this one, Mark 1:16, for the kingdom is near. Repent and believe the gospel. That is the key. That is the key. Repent and believe the gospel. That is how we receive salvation. Repenting and believing the gospel is not someone standing up here with a bowl of water going sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle. That is not repentance.
Nope.
Repentance is not someone climbing into this tub up here, getting dunked over the water, and brought back up. That is not repentance. Nope. Repentance isn't... Will you say the sinner's prayer with me? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, amen. That is not repentance. I heard a story about this guy who's a great evangelist. I don't know if he got in his head a little bit. Sitting at a restaurant, waitress comes up. Words out of his mouth is, "Do you want to go to hell?" "Well, no." "Well, say this prayer." "Okay, you're going to heaven now." Repentance isn't every eye closed, every head bowed, raise your hand. It's not repentance. In the act in and of itself, can repentance take place in the sinner's prayer? Absolutely. Can repentance take place in the action of closing the eyes, bowing the head, raising the hand? Yes, it can. But the act in and of itself is not repentance. It is not belief. It's simply doing and saying something as a work. There has to be something that goes on inside. There's got to be this drawing from the Holy Spirit that draws us to the Father. Realizing that I'm a sinner. In all of these sins that I have committed, I deserve to die because of those. I deserve an eternity in hell because of these sins that I have committed. It's a realization of that. And having been walking toward this sin, you repent. It's called about face. And you start walking toward Jesus. Running toward Jesus. Running to the cross. Casting it all on Jesus. Just like we read. I don't remember now. Isaiah 53:6. There it is. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, being Jesus. Salvation is open for all who would repent and believe. Why? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
I'm going to drive home this really important point of the structure of that sentence. Jesus is saying, I am the one and only way. The one and only truth. The one and only life. There is absolutely no way to get to the Father except through Jesus. That's it. That's it. So we've seen that man has sinned. We have failed. We understand what the penalty of that sin is, the wages that we have earned because of the sin that we have committed. We see God's love. We see how God has made a way for us to be reconciled back to Him. We've seen now what it means to receive that free gift, what it looks like to receive that free gift, what it looks like to repent and believe. So, what now? If today's the day that you're believing for the first time and you are receiving that gift of salvation, that is awesome. And I want to talk to you about that here in just a little bit. All right? If you've believed for a long time and this is that reminder that you needed, awesome. And maybe you're going, yeah, I've believed it for years, so now what? Well, here's some cool things to think about. Romans chapter 8. We're going to be in a couple places in Romans chapter 8, but to start with, verse 1. One of my favorites.
Nice.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our enemy is a jerk.
He is.
And the thing that he likes to do to us is he likes to drum up all the stuff that we used to do. It's like, you remember that thing that you really, really enjoyed doing? Yeah, that sin that you really thought was fun and cool? Yeah, there's no way that God can forgive you for that. That is such a horrendous thing that you have done. How can you expect God to forgive you for that? And then, you know, all these other temptations, like, you know what? He can't forgive you for that, so you may as well do this other stuff too. You know, hey, doesn't this look fun? Doesn't this look like something that would be fun to do? Back in the day. This is why I failed out of college. I partied too much, drank too much. It was really dumb because I hated the taste of beer. Always did. Thought it was disgusting. It's bad for your health, exactly. Yeah, it's bad for your health. It's bad for everything about you. But I always hated it. But it was just so enticing. So just think of all the fun you can have. All of this cool stuff you get to do. Then you wake up the next morning and don't remember any of it. That enticement, it continues though, right? You still get those enticements every now and then. Hey, you know that sin you used to do that you really used to like? You want to do that again, right? No! Right. Just say no. Paul says, flee. Get the heck out of Dodge. Run as fast as you can. But here's the cool thing, okay? All of that, the enemy trying to bring all that stuff up. What do we just read out of Romans 8:1? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you have repented and believed the gospel, God has taken those sins and he's thrown them as far as the east is from the west. And that's a long way. It came out of the Psalms first. As far as the east is from the west. And I haven't studied this a whole lot, but you know what I think would be cool?
What?
I haven't looked at the map of where Jesus was crucified. But it would be really cool if the cross was oriented that way. You know why? East, west. I don't know if that's how he was hung, but man, if it was, our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. I hope he was hung this way. I think it'd be really awesome. Because then, you know, I'd be God doing, look, I told you this in the Psalms. I'm showing it to you now. Your sins have been cast as far as the east is from the west. I am not holding it against you if you are in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen, Eric.
That's something I'll call for an amen on. Continuing in chapter 8, I'm going to flip pages because it's verses 35 through 38. This one gets us Baptists in trouble. Because people don't agree with this. Which means they don't agree with God's word. And that's sad. It's scary at the same time. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We have power over sin because of Christ in us. We have the capability to flee with Christ in us. Verse 38. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have a doctrine called the perseverance of the saints. Simply put, once saved, always saved. You put your faith in Christ. You repent and believe the gospel. God's got you in his hand. And his grip is a heck of a lot stronger than mine. He ain't letting go. We might fight against him. Right, we do this self-defense move where like I'll grab a wrist, right? And my hands are bigger than a lot of these kids, so I can wrap my hand all the way around their wrist. And they'll try and pull straight back, right? But when you make a fist, or even your hand, you're trying to squeeze it through. That's a tight spot. You're not getting out of that. Okay, we try and do that from time to time. But no, let me go, let me do this thing. But God's like, no, I got you. I got you. You're going to drown if I let go. And I love you too much to let you drown. But God's got us. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no separation from God. Once we are in him, we ain't strong enough to break that separation. God's stronger than that. God's bigger than that. All of these things are from the Lord. He reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against us. And as Paul continued to write 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We are reconciled to God through Christ. What a great gift that is. What a great sense of access that we have. You know, if maybe you remember being a kid and going to a friend's house and you wanted to ask their dad to go get ice cream or something, right? And the kid's like, yeah, sure, let's go ask. And they walk with you to their dad to ask about going to get ice cream. You don't have that access without the friend. You most likely you're not going to be able to, well, in any given day, that your friend has access to his dad, but if your friend and you aren't friends and you don't know each other, you can't just go up to this dude and go, hey, can we go get ice cream? It doesn't work that way. Because the guy's going to go, that's weird, get away, kid. But because of that relationship that exists with his son, even if you're not hanging out with his son on that given day, you could probably go up and say, hey, Johnny's dad, can we go get ice cream? And he's probably going to say, well, it's a little bit weird. Why don't we go get Johnny? But yeah, let's go get ice cream. But Jesus goes with us and gives us that access to the Father. That access that we wouldn't have otherwise. So if today you're believing for the first time, this will be your opportunity to come talk to me about that. But before we do that, let's flip to 693 in your hymnal. Another responsive reading. 693. Yes, at last. Once we finish this, I'll pray. And Devon will close us out with some music. And as Devon is playing, if the Lord is drawing you to make a decision, make that decision today. Respond obediently today. Go ahead and stand. Number 693. What must I do to be saved? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. And we thank you that you sent him to pay the price for us, to pay the price for our sin, the price that we can't afford to pay. Lord, we thank you for that work. We thank you for this gift of grace that you give us, this gift of righteousness, this gift of salvation that we receive in Christ Jesus. And Lord, today, if there's anyone who doesn't know you, let today be the day that they would turn and know you and be obedient to you. What a wonderful day it would be, Lord. For people to resurrect from their internal death of their sin to life in you. As we celebrate this resurrection day, God, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.